Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor who played himself in the 2011 documentary FedCon 20, The Sci-Fi Experience, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you remember this documentary?
No, I have no idea what you're... I think I remember that at FedCon, that's the big convention in Germany.
Yes, it is.
That
the original big convention in Germany.
The original big convention. It was the biggest convention in Europe, pretty much.
It has been supplanted, though, now by German Comic Con, the one that I was just at. So, yes.
But it was huge, and I remember they made... They would film all this stuff and then they would put it together as like a documentary or something.
Yeah. So they have a video team basically that would sit there and they would film little B-roll clips here and there, maybe interview an actor or two, say, how's it going in Germany? And that would all be included in this edited, packaged everything and shiny little DVD cover with artwork and they would actually
sell the past convention.
It becomes a piece of merch basically.
Wow.
Right, it's a smart business way to go. I think it's a smart way to do business.
Well, the fans also love it. If they can't get to a convention, they get a convention experience, they get to relive the convention they went to and blah blah blah.
And
that's very cool.
Frankly, I'm shocked that creation has never even thought of this idea.
Yeah.
As long as they've been around, it's like, really? You guys haven't taken advantage of doing something like this? I mean, it doesn't take much, right? I mean, you need some cameramen, you need some audio, and then just go around the con and get little clips here, little clips there.
That's
and
so funny.
Some fans, and bam, you've got merch, instant merch.
We should start doing a documentary about the making of the Delta Flyers.
That's what I was thinking. There's a funny thing. I don't know if you... You probably don't look at TikTok so much, but I know you don't. So I don't even why I say you probably don't. I know you don't. So I will say this: on TikTok, there is a bit of a trend where they'll show, it's somewhat comedic. So it'll be the wife of like an NFL player, and she'll say, and this is my average day. And it says, at 7 a.m., I prepare, his protein meal, whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
And then there'll be another thing. At nine,
so it's like it's a mini documentary.
Yeah, a little mini documentary that people will do about getting ready for the day.
I'm gonna do a mini documentary of every day of my life. Every
that's
day
what I was
be
thinking.
A new documentary.
That
here I am waking up. All right, let me go in the bathroom and shut the door for a minute.
No, but I'm just saying we could do something. There's comedic elements too. Like we could sit there and say, this is our day getting ready to do the podcast. And then, it'll show you like working out. Like you don't really need to work out for the podcast. You know what I'm saying? And maybe I'll be doing some type of
Rocky montage of us. Yeah,
sure.
Because just basically every time I prepare for the podcast, it's like Rocky. Getting ready for the
yes, that's what we want. The Delta Flyer, and you'll run to the top of the steps and like do this. Yeah, so we could do that.
And by the way, I would do all of that in my new Delta Flyers T-shirt.
Look
at this. Okay, for those just listening, we had a limited edition T-shirt. It's Tom Paris has the famous line, it's the Voyager, that everybody makes fun of me because I called it the Voyager.
Yeah, it's now a shirt.
It's now
the Voyager with Voyager on it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like 3D.
Two-tone.
Neon. Yeah. It's cool.
It's a cool shirt, but what's different, what sets it apart is that it is the first shirt that we have offered in long sleeve.
Long sleeve, yeah.
According to Robbie, who is wearing it right now, I do not have mine yet. It should be, I should have mine soon. But according to Robbie, it is as soft as a baby's bottom.
Oh my gosh, it really is. It's the softest shirt I've ever put on my body in my life.
Ever in your whole
I wish our uniforms on the show were made of this. That would have been amazing.
We would love going to work then. We'd be like, oh, I can't wait to go to work to wear our silky smooth uniforms. But
we had
rough, itchy, hot ones, unfortunately.
It is very cool. Sorry for those that missed out. We literally sold out in an hour and a half of the limited edition. If there's enough demand, we may make more of these, but it's a pretty cool shirt
and it's super
comfy.
Yeah. I just liked watching you get up and back down again. That's making up, my day.
This is part of my,
that's his calisthenics. Montage. That's his preparation for getting into. Okay, good. We're good. All right. Well, let's go watch this episode. I know, I even forgot that we even have an episode we have to go watch. Okay, the episode is Fury. So Fury is our episode. Okay. Everyone, please hang tight. Robbie and I are going to go watch this episode. We'll be right back with our recap and discussion of Fury. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. We're back from watching Fury.
Yes, we are.
I don't even remember.
I don't think Chakotay boxed at all in this.
He didn't box once.
I thought he was going to be a boxer.
Yes, that he would box Kes. Yeah. Oh well. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
All right.
Okay. So
let's start our synopsis with some art and poetry.
Always a pleasure. Here we go. My haiku for Fury.
Yes.
The return of Kes. She's angry and wants revenge. Young Kes stops old Kes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yours actually makes more sense with this story than mine. But
really?
Yeah, but you know, a limerick is a limerick. It's got to have rhyme. It's got to be in a certain
and we've pitter, all learned to love your limericks.
So. Here we go. Our limerick synopsis for Fury.
Okay.
Kes returns. She kicks butt and takes names. The ship and crew could all go up in flames. Tuvok's mind is a mess. Janeway makes a deal with Kes. So with Janeway, don't ever play games.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It doesn't really explain the plot much.
No, it does, though. I mean, with the way you set me up, I thought this was going to be, you know, interpretive limerick, completely
abstract.
Totally abstract. The sun shone on Kes's shoulder. No, you didn't go there.
I didn't go there because Janeway, she like cons the conner. You know what I mean? Like she comes up with a scheme and wins. So, you know, don't play games with Janeway is the lesson. Let's talk about the writer, director. So, teleplay, Brian Fuller and Michael Taylor.
Right.
Story. By Rick Berman and Brandon Braga.
Didn't I say Braga? I did say
you
Braga.
You did say Braga.
So I got one quarter of a point. 1/4 of a point.
Yay! But I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that like Rick and Brandon were sitting around and said, what are we going to do? We need a cool episode. What if we brought Kes back, but she's the bad guy?
Oh my gosh.
And that's probably where it all started, is my guess. You know, like, let's bring her back. Would she do it? Would she come back and be a bad guy? Here's the problem for me, though. I feel like they left on such a good note with Kes.
Sending us that, you know, thousands of light years ahead. I mean, I think that would have been a great ending. But no, they decided to resurrect Kes.
They damaged her character here, I think.
Yes, I agree with you.
But she did a great job.
You have almost like an asterisk to the character name in a way. I know. She was integral in helping all the other characters when she was around. And then all of a sudden we have an episode called Fury where she comes back out of the blue.
A whole different person.
And really, it kind of messes with our positive thoughts or our positive portrayal or the way we look at this character is now just it's been forever tainted in a way because of this episode. So it's unfortunate.
Director John Bruno, we didn't remember that. Yeah. John Bruno did a great job. Obviously, there was a lot of visual effects in this with the double Kesses and the exploding hallways. So John did a great job. I think the vis effects in this episode were above par. They were great. Yeah. They were really good. Cast. So obviously we have Jennifer Lean as Kes.
Yes.
I don't know if we ever, you know, I don't know if we were doing first jobs back when Jen was on the show. So I want to revisit Jennifer Lean's very first job.
Sure. What is it?
So she started in Illinois outside of Chicago.
That's right. That's where she's from. Yeah.
At 13 years old, she performed in Shakespeare at the Illinois Theater Center. She was doing, you know, roles in Othello. She was doing roles in The Tempest. She's 13 years old doing Shakespeare. That was her first job on stage that I could find. And then her very first job in front of a camera was on the soap opera Another World for 2 years, 91 and 92. So right before, a couple of years before we started Voyager, she had just had her first job in front of the camera. Another World was the soap opera.
Wow. And she's, you know, to me, I've always felt that she's been mature beyond her actual physical age. You know, because she is
emotionally
probably, and definitely this her voice,
she's an old soul.
Her voice is so mature, and she, I think she was 18 and turned 19 the first season of Voyager, from what I recall. So she was still a teenager when she booked Voyager. She's a kid.
Unbelievable. She really is. Unbelievable. Okay, other guest stars, we have Nancy Hauer back, which is good, great to see her. We've talked about Nancy. Scarlett Palmer's had a scene in here.
Love
Scarlett. We had Vaughn Armstrong again. And
was Vaughn the Vidian in this
one? Yeah, he was the Vidian.
Oh my gosh. It's like I never know when Vaughn comes into our
show. I think he may
Vaughn's
be.
Vaughn's been here 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah.
He's been a Romulan. He's been a Vidian. Go ahead.
He's been a human.
What are you going to
say? I was going to say, so Vaughn has portrayed 12 different characters in Star Trek.
Wow. 12.
He's done 28 episodes.
I'm going to say that's more than Jeffrey Combs in terms of different characters.
Yeah.
Right?
The other ones that have played a lot of characters, Jeffrey Combs, J.G. Hertzler, obviously. We talked about him.
Yeah.
Thomas Capaci, Randy Oglesby. Those are some that have done
multiple different characters.
Yeah, a lot of characters.
But I feel like it's a lot.
Vaughn Armstrong has to hold the record. 12 different characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vaughn was great as the Vidian. We had Josh Clark back because we jumped time. So Josh Clark.
That's
as
who I couldn't
Lieutenant
remember
Carey.
The name. Remember the other
that's
day?
Right.
I was like, who's the guy that got his nose broken? Okay, that's Lieutenant Carey.
Josh. Yeah, Lieutenant Carey. Yeah, Josh Clark.
Back. Yeah.
His first in front of the camera job was in 1976.
76 for Josh?
Yes.
I don't believe
it was
that.
A TV movie called The Other Side of Victory.
He predates you. Basically,
yeah, I thought he and I were about the same age.
Yeah,
but
I thought
not.
You guys
he's
were 10
years older than me.
No,
he's
goodness.
10 years older than me, and he started, you know, quite a while before me. So, we also had the Borg kids pop into Tuvok's vision.
Two of them. We just had the twins, Cody and
just
Kurt
the twins.
Weatherall. Yeah,
Cody
we
and
didn't
Kurt
see
Weatherall.
Any of the other, no,
let's get into it.
Yeah, so, let's get into it. We start
first
in ready
first
room.
Scene,
the very
ready
first.
Room.
Well, actually, first scene is an exterior space shot of Voyager flying by, and then we're in Janeway's ready room, and of course the doorbell chimes, and Janeway says, "Come in." Tuvok enters. And Janeway is very stern, and she looks like she's about to hand out some punishment. Is what
she
looks
like. Why didn't you tell me? Why?
Well, first she starts with, "How long have we known each other?" And he's like, "Oh, like 20 years." Like, you know, I consider you one of my closest friends. I mean, her delivery is angry through this whole thing. I have always been honest with you, but you, after going through terraquads of information, separating fact from rumor and everything, she turns to the replicator and then Tuvok is confused. He's like, what did I do? She replicates another blue looking cake.
Yes. Another Star Trek cake.
Star Trek cake.
Love, you don't know what she's going to replicate.
No,
and then it
no.
cuts to her face facing away from him. And you see her go from that angry
yeah,
you know, stern thing.
Yeah.
To the, you hear the replicator off camera and she smiles. Yeah. And then she turns around and she's got this beaming Star Trek smile.
Cake. Yes. She wants him to blow that candle out. And he's like, that's not Vulcan tradition.
Nope.
And I just love that line at the end when she gets hailed to go to the bridge and he does blow it out. And she looks at him. She's very happy. And he's like, well, it was a fire hazard. So he has to still be Vulcan.
I love how she gets him to do it too. It's like classic Cape Mulgrew, sad puppy eyes. Like she gives him sad puppy eyes. She's like, humor me, please. Humor me, please. Yeah, that was very funny. Great scene.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a detail in this that comes up later. There's a detail the camera is on the other side of the actors from the windows. So it's on a certain side of what you call the line. Like when we film scenes, there is a screen direction line that you want characters face looking at each other, one character to look one direction. And when you cut to the other close up, the other character should look the other direction. Mm-hmm. So we call that the line.
The line. Yes.
And they, and I love what it's a little detail, but he sets it up here that he's shooting the scene on one side of the line. When we revisit it later,
it's on the other side.
He flips the scene from the other side of the line. Yep.
Interesting.
So yeah, I was going to bring that up later, but I don't want to forget because it was a nice little detail.
Well, and that's also a detail that we typically didn't do that. You know, I mean, you stayed on one side or the other. You didn't sit there and cross the line. So I do like that he did that. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to go back and watch that now.
So yeah, Tuvok blows out the candle. We cut out to the bridge. Janeway and Tuvok head out. Chakotay says there's a small vessel approaching. They're
distress called.
It's a distress call. Mm-hmm. And Harry says one life sign. And then he says, it's O'Compan.
Yeah. I liked my acting in that one line.
Yeah, it was it's good. O'Compan. It's O'Compan.
Yeah.
And then up on the view screen, we see Kes appears, but she's in this really old age makeup.
It's old Kes. This is a Kes we have not seen before. I mean, what would you say her age would be in equivalent to human years at this point?
Oh, she'd look like 90 some years old. Like
she's, I would say octogenarian. So 80 something.
80 something.
You're going to go with 90. Okay.
But here's the thing. They did such an old makeup, but Jenlene, as you said before, was pretty young.
Yeah.
Her voice was still, she was trying to do sort of a raspy older voice.
It
was still
voice.
Young sounding. It just didn't, it was a tough one for me to buy right away. I was like, her voice is giving away.
Okay.
But she's 20 years old, you know, or whatever she was at the time.
Yeah. Well, Janeway's really excited to see her. She's like, what, Kes? And Kes is like, listen, I need help, Captain. I need help. I want to come aboard. And Janeway's like, of course, of course. Well, all of a sudden, she's off the view screen. We just see her vessel, and she's powering up. Well, she's not powering up. She's accelerating is what she's doing.
Isn't Janeway sort of like, what's going on? Explain this
to her. No, she's what's going on, but she's still very open-armed about it. She's not, you know, she's not like, what's going on? This is a trap. There was none of that in this scene, but definitely she gives her the green light. She's like, yeah, sure, no problem. But before we can even beam her aboard,
she cuts the call.
She presses the gas and starts coming directly
collision
at
course,
collision
right
course.
Right
exactly. Now, that's our first red flag. We're like, wait, this is very bizarre. So before impact, she actually beams herself out, and we do detect the beam, which happens right before impact. And then now we have this crazy shot of her walking down one of the corridors where all the bulkheads that she passes just sort of implode and just blow into the hallway. And it's very violent and very,
very cool. It was almost like slow motion.
Yes, but disturbing.
Very stylized. John Bruno did a great job. Very well done.
Yeah. She's got all this destruction happening. And that's when we cut to the intro scene for the series, of course. And when we come back from that, she's still in the corridors and even force fields. We jump back and forth between the bridge and the corridors, and force fields won't hold her. She just walks right through. Tarek shows up with another security person, starts shooting at her with a phaser rifle. She blows them back again, you know, and they bounce up against the bulkhead. She comes around the corner. They're still aiming those phaser rifles at her. So that's when she does her little magic thing,
like,
and then
collapses the wall.
Collapses the hallway. And then, you know, I'm not sure what happens to Tarek. Yeah, I don't know, but I was concerned. I was like, what the? That's in my video.
Tarek had a line there too.
He did, yeah. But that's not the first time. He's had lines before,
but I loved it. He has a line.
He got to say something. Yeah.
Stop where you are or something like that. It was good.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Nice, Tarek.
So, yeah. So
and that's an upgrade, by the way. Like, you know, he made significantly more money when he had a line than just being background.
Definitely. I mean, featured background probably got a little bit more than your random background person, but for sure, the minute he spoke, he got that bump.
That's a big deal. Yeah, that's very important to the background if they get a line.
Yeah, I do hope Ayala is still alive after this, though.
I think he is.
You
I
do?
Is.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We'll go with that.
Here's something that's interesting for people listening. You may not know. So if there's a background person we have, you know, often in lots of scenes, if there's an episode where they have a line, they will typically not do background that entire episode, because if they have a line in that episode and they come back to do background work, you have to pay them as if they have lines because you've established them as a speaking role.
Oh,
so Tarek probably made more money on this day. But he
worked less.
He
didn't come in any other day except for this one.
He didn't come less. So it may have actually been a wash because he might have made more equal money working 4 or 5 days as background, but he did one day. But you probably, I don't know. I didn't even think about that till now, but you probably don't see him in the rest of the episode because I doubt they brought him in.
I don't remember seeing him after this. Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That is a engineering. Cool detail. Yeah. All right. So now she shows up in engineering and waiting for her, but they quickly turn around and we see Bellana Torres and we see Seven, and Seven's drawn her phaser basically. And she's sort of questioning Kes, like, what are you doing? What do you want? Da da da. And Kes uses her powers and just knocks them both to the side. Just
it's like X-Men powers.
X-Men powers. Energy. And they're like two bowling pins, just boop. Just gone. She makes her way. She makes a beeline for the warp core, essentially. She crawls underneath that little railing, puts her hand up against it. And now she's clearly siphoning energy from the warp core because you can see all this stuff coming through. Torres sort of regains consciousness. She calls up to the bridge. She says to Janeway, she tells Janeway what's going on. Janeway says, shut down the warp core, shut it down now. So as Torres goes to shut it down, she's punching in a few buttons. Kes knows immediately what's going on. She looks over, glances at Torres, and immediately sends an X-Men beam right
It's like a lightning
Torres,
bolt right through her torso.
Knocks her back. And she's on the ground hard. And now, of course, we're back on the bridge and Janeway's asking for a status report. And now it's not Torres who's answering. It's Seven who answers. And she says, Torres is dead.
Yes.
Which then cuts to immediately to Tom Paris on the bridge.
And she also, one big thing you missed here.
Yes.
She's sucking out the energy. She lightning bolts Torres.
Yes.
And then she disappears.
Oh, that's Kes right. Disappears. Sorry. She disappears. Yeah. She goes,
lightning bolts her, turns back to the warp core, and she vanishes.
Yes. And Seven gives this information to the bridge. You know, there's a disappearing Kes. She's gone, and Torres is dead. And they cut to Paris's reaction right there. And he's just like, what? I mean, that look is just like, I didn't remember this at all.
Okay. No, that's pretty sad.
Yeah. It is kind of sad. You know, I think the reaction should have been a little bit more intense with everybody on the bridge the minute they heard Torres was, you know, because even Chakotay was kind of like, you know, it was like, it was like a confusion thing. But I think maybe there
should have had like a tear.
You should have had one tear like that. And then you went.
And a slow motion, like slow motion.
Just slow,
big symphony string
swelling up like that, and then I wanted your lower lip to start to quiver as well, like the tear.
I could have dropped to my knees and gone no.
Yeah, that's what
slow motion
in slow mo like that. Like, no, would you have yelled her name though? Bellana.
That would have been.
Then
nice.
At that point, Harry comes down and Chakotay, and we're kind of holding you to, you know, because you're thrashing around.
That's what should have happened.
Scene we're missing is what we're doing. Okay. All right. Let's just
All right. On. Anyway, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. Yes, so
saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
So we cut to the, we're still in engineering. We cut to engineering after this report that Torres is dead. And yes. Now it's engineering in the past. So we see older Kes materialize in front of the warp core.
Yeah.
And then she does again more X-Men powers, and she changes her old look into young and pristine Kes.
I didn't know Kes could do this.
I know, but clearly she
I didn't can. Know she had powers. Why didn't she do this when she was on the ship?
She should.
Why didn't maybe she needed the warp energy? Okay.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's maybe. What it is.
Yeah, but she transforms into young Kes, yeah. And then B'Elanna comes back.
Who's still
and I'm
alive
like, wait a minute,
this,
she just died.
Yeah.
So yes. You clearly know she's jumped back in time.
Yeah, this is a time jump for sure.
When B'Elanna was alive, mm-hmm. She says, are you lost? And yeah. Kes says, no, the captain just suggested I get more familiar with the ship. So I was just right. Checking out the warp core.
Right.
She is a con artist. Clearly, she's got some reason.
She's got
to go
a
back
plan.
In time.
My
she's got
goodness. A plan. And it's a very elaborate plan. It's a, you know, mm-hmm. it's a Ocean's Kes 11 plan is what it is.
Is. She goes out in the hall.
Yeah.
She asks the computer, how long have they been in the Delta Quadrant? And the right. computer says 56 days and 17 hours.
And did you look at that evil smile that came across her face?
Creepy smile. Like, I wrote that down. Creepy, creepy.
Yeah, she was so happy.
So basically, she's going back to when we just, yeah. you know, pretty early. We had met the Vidians, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, it was that first season. She's gone back to the first season. Mm-hmm. So then we go to sick bay. Kes walks in. She's looking at these medical tools. And the doctor walks in and she hides this hypo spray behind her back.
She says she's loading up a hypo spray. We're like, what is she doing?
What is she doing? Mm-hmm. She says, she just forgot something. Yeah. He asks why she's here. Just forgot something. And then he goes, Pion Ko. And she's like, excuse me? And he's like, Pion Ko, 21st century a surgeon. He cured cancer, basically. That's okay. The name I'm going to take. So I'm going to be Pion Ko.
And that made me happy because that's a Korean name. And so I was like, yeah, go Asian. Go Asian. Seeing the doctor with an Asian name would have made my day.
But he goes off
that.
Here. He's like,
he talks
you know,
about other, yeah,
you
other
encouraged
names,
me to pick a name. So it's either Pion Ko, maybe Schweitzer, maybe Pasteur. So many options.
Yeah.
And as he's talking to himself, as he does, She's literally gone. backs out in that one shot, which was very funny. She's like,
it was.
I don't have time for one of the doctor's soliloquies here.
Yeah.
We go to Aeroponics Bay next.
How'd you say that?
Aeroponics. Aeroponics.
You had another syllable. Aeroponics. Like aeroplane, you went aeroponics. I love that. That's very cute, Robbie.
Yes. Okay, it's aeroponics. Because I'm a pilot. I'm thinking aero.
You keep thinking aeroplane. So you went Aeroponics Bay. Aeroponics. We do see the real Kes in this time.
We don't know it's the real Kes yet. We just
I knew
know.
It was her immediately.
Oh, I didn't.
How did you not know that? She's wearing a totally different... Her costume
I didn't
is
catch
different.
That. That's right. Different color.
Because she's wearing red. The color of evil and the devil.
I mean,
she's
I knew it
around.
Pretty quickly, but I didn't know it right away. I was like, okay maybe she went in here. And then she hears a noise. She says, Neelix?
Yeah.
No, nothing.
No.
She turns back, and then you feel that POV of I
someone
I assumed
watching
at this
her.
Point.
Yeah.
It's the it's evil Kes.
Yeah, it's creepy Kes.
And there was this double shot, like the two of them, you know, Jennifer Lean in both.
Yeah.
Both. Outfits, I guess, both colors, and she brings the hyper spray behind her back up to her neck, and attacks her from behind. It was very well done. That's a hard shot to.
I agree.
To line up in the right way.
I agree. And she puts her in a drawer, basically.
She puts her in a drawer. I have a feeling that evil in that shot where you see evil Kes behind nice Kes. The way they did that two shot, though, they probably my guess is. They had evil Kes in the shot pretending to hypo spray nothing in front of her.
Correct,
and then they
shot
nice Kes on a green screen and lined them up together. So evil Kes was probably not hypo spraying anybody.
Gotcha.
It was probably evil cast by herself.
Right. And then when she puts her in that drawer and takes her,
she takes her comb badge.
Before she does that, doesn't she kind of
caress her own hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at that arm going
the
like
hand.
That,
I know.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that's not her. That's not Jennifer Lean's. Yeah. No. And it's like, how can you not match that closer than that? Come on.
I was a little disappointed
with that one. So, okay. All right. So we're moving out of aeroponics. We're in the mess hall and there's a nice little scene with Paris in there talking about, you know, trying to name certain dishes, trying to give Neelix, you know, and I love it. The greasy Neelix, the double Talaxian with cheese. When he hands you that thing, it looks like a deconstructed burger without a cherry on top or something, which was kind of like, what the heck is this? Yeah. But, you know, it looked kind of tasty, to be perfectly honest. Right.
Yeah, it did look good. Kes walks in, asks Neelix for some coffee. She wants to bring it to the captain's ready room.
Yeah.
And Neelix says he's got a surprise for her on the holodeck, that he has a program. He wants to take a moonlit stroll on some planet. Right. I forget where he said.
Yeah.
Wants to take a moonlit stroll with her. They've got a, you know, date night. And she doesn't really respond to that. And then he makes a food joke about, like, you know, I keep telling everybody it's the replicator, but they think it's me or something. The replicator's malfunctioning. Right. So he makes a joke. She doesn't laugh. She's kind of, you know, distracted. And she just grabs the coffee and takes off for the ready room.
He does kind of make her laugh a little bit because he said, Neelix is security. Kes's frown is losing its structural integrity, which is a very cute, you know, line of dialogue to say, alert, I'm detecting a smile. And so she smiles a little bit and then she
takes off. Mm-hmm. Go to the ready room. We see Janeway with her season one bun. The bun of steel is back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their shot. Mm-hmm. Chakotay comes in. They're talking about Vidians.
Yeah. And just those attacks that they've had and how to strategize in terms of how to defeat them, because the Vidians are definitely a very serious threat to the Voyager cast and crew.
Doesn't she say something about it reminds me of the stories we heard at the Academy? If you went to Ryza, you might lose a kidney.
Yes.
And you know, like these are you know, urban legends that they had back then,
which now fit perfectly for the Vidians, because yes, you will lose your kidney if you're anywhere near a Vidian. They're going to harvest every single one of your organs, as we already know.
Chakotay says he's done research, though, on the Vidians. And it's a little moment where he says, you know, these people are desperate. Like, I wonder how humans would react.
Yeah, how would we react? They're not that different from how we were before, you know, the phage attacked their people. They were very similar to us.
So. Yeah, it's a nice little comment, I think, on, you know, humanizing some of our bad guys a little, or some empathy for them. So it was nice.
I agree.
By the way,
Chakotay
and Janeway have a lot of chemistry in this scene. And I was thinking, did they have chemistry like this back in early in the first season? Like, or was it all business back then? Like, it I feel like
more business. So do you feel like they played it a little bit too familiar? Like they were known each other for six seasons then, in a way.
It felt a little bit like they have more chemistry than they actually did have early on in the series.
Okay.
Maybe a little
bit. Yeah. A little zhuzh worth of, a little extra.
But it's always nice to see some JC chemistry.
Yes, it is.
Kes arrives, though. And Kes brings the coffee.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And I think Chakotay takes off. Kes brings the coffee in.
Doesn't he stay in there? No. He does leave first. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, he leaves.
Yeah.
So Chakotay leaves and Kes comes in with the coffee. And then Janeway's called to the bridge and she's going to take off. And Kes needs a reason to stay in the office. So she spills some coffee on the desk on purpose.
Uh-huh.
And Janeway's like, oh, don't worry about it. This desk has had many spills. Don't worry about it. And so Janeway takes off and then Kes goes around the desk, sits down and starts accessing her computer
laptop. Looking at all the little files dealing with the Vidians, basically.
So while she's doing that, we go out to the bridge and there's Nancy Howard.
Good old Wildman, Naomi, but what is Samantha Wildman. Yes, I should know that. Samantha Wildman is there, and she's a smart cookie because she's been analyzing these Vidian bio readings from the last attack. Wildman realizes that a neural agent can be synthesized that would incapacitate the Vidians, but not us. So that's exactly what we need in case we get boarded by these Vidian.
So basically like a tranquilizer gas or something.
Yeah. That only affects them.
Them, knock them out. So they're talking about this.
Yeah.
Janeway's into it. Tuvok's there. And then you see Tuvok sort of have a weird feeling.
He gets it's almost like a premonition feeling that he's getting or whatever it is. And at that exact moment, that's when Kes is leaving Janeway's ready room, crossing through the bridge, and she stops momentarily.
They sort of have this look
and she stops basically at Tuvok station is what it is, even though Tuvok is not at his station, but they do share this look and Tuvok is unsettled. And Kes is probably wondering, why is he staring at me?
Why is he staring at me? I felt like that was going to be more of like a Tuvok versus Kes story. And it's not, I mean, it becomes a Janeway problem solving.
Yeah.
But I wondered why Kes didn't clock that and track that a little more. Like Tuvok was, you know.
Well, she does kind of, because later in sickbay, she kind of adjusts that cortical stimulus. Oh, yeah. So
she's
too
trying
much
to take him out. She's,
yeah. So it's track. It's tracking.
Yeah, that's true.
I think.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
All right.
Okay. So next we go into the briefing room and everybody's there. We're talking about the Vidians.
Yeah.
And the doctor's on the monitor like the old days. He's because he doesn't have his mobile emitter. So
that's right.
He's back on the monitor.
He is
joining
back.
Us, which was kind of always an odd, you know, he had to shoot that on another day. And we had to guess at sort of the eye lines. Like the director always had to know when someone's talking, you look over here. When the other lines come, you look over there. And it was all hopefully, you know, hopefully they shot that after the doctor's part, after they shot our part. So they could remember
they
could where everybody
the eye lines
was
then. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. But the entire conversation in this briefing room is revolving around the fact that the Vidian ships that we detected earlier, they completely disappeared. They're gone from sensors. So we're sitting here thinking, oh, wait a minute. It seems like we're being herded because we're now heading in a direction where these crazy subspace vacuoles are going to be a problem to navigate around.
Yeah, it's like a forest of these.
It's like a forest, but these, it's a forest that the Vidians can hide in. And that's the biggest concern, right? That these guys are about to put this ambush.
Yeah, feels like it might be a trap. Janeway asked Tom if he can navigate through that region of space.
Right.
Yeah. And
Torres says we need a more accurate scan of those vacuoles, right? And that's when Kim suggests, well, we could send a shuttle ahead. And Tuvok says, well, the Delta Flyer, its sensors are more advanced. And that's when Janeway goes, the Delta what? So now we realize Tuvok is not only does he have premonitions, but he is already kind of straddling the future.
He's kind of torn between both places.
He's being pulled, most definitely. So, and my question was, at this point, I didn't understand why he was going through that. It's just like, why Tuvok? Like, why is he? Why is
I think
he
it's
the one?
What are those tachyon particles that Janeway talks about later?
Yes,
that they affect Vulcans. That's all I could come up with.
Okay.
When he walked near large, you know, residue of this tachyon
particles that
it was doing something.
It's messing with him then. Okay, all right.
But there was one thing that happened in this scene. So Harry says we could send a shuttle to, you know, map these vacuoles. And then Janeway says to Tom, well, maybe we should let the Voyager do the driving.
Right.
And Tom's like, autopilot? And she's like, well, no offense, but, you know, yeah, it'll probably fly better than you. I was like, what? This is first season. Tom was supposed to be the best pilot there is, and they're going to put it on autopilot?
But she does mention the neural gel packs, and they can calculate equations faster than you can.
I was come on, taking a shot at Tom. You're going to put it on autopilot when you got Tom Paris?
That's what you got out of the scene.
I didn't even
think about that. I'm thinking about the overall, but okay, that's fine. That's valid. That's a valid
very
complaint.
Offended by that. But I love I love that Tuvok was like, what about the Delta Flyer? And everybody is like, are you okay? What are you talking about?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was a little weird. I do like when Janeway says, what's the first thing they teach you about maneuvering at warp? And you're like,
oh God, I
faster
hated
than
that.
Light, no left or right. It was sort of righty tighty twisted, you know, it was yeah, like those, well, those yeah.
I hated that line.
You didn't like it.
No, that's why I threw it away really fast. I was just like, I don't want to like quote a saying. I don't know
you didn't
how to
even
do this.
Say it, did you?
Okay. No. So I was like, faster than light, no left or right. Anyway, yeah. I just moved past it.
So after, you know, after Janeway says the Delta what, Tuvok is like, oops, I must have been thinking about another starship. And Janeway says, prepare shuttle. I want all of Voyager systems operating at peak efficiency by the time Tom gets back. If we're going to pull this off, there's no margin for error. Dismissed. So end of briefing room scene. Mm-hmm. And that actually is a good transition for the next scene, which is we're in the shuttle bay and Paris is going to prepare the shuttle, basically. And
you see the wide shot, though, of the shuttle bay. And mm-hmm. I was looking at those shuttles, the two shuttles that are in there.
Yeah.
Is that what the old shuttles look like? They look different
to me. Well, we have two types of shuttle. We have a boxier one that looks like a tissue box and a more svelte, sleeker lined shuttle.
There's
like a class one shuttle and a class two shuttle. So I think this is the class two shuttle that you're looking at. Okay. Class one is the boxier looking one.
Yeah, that's what I recall.
That's what you're used to
seeing most of the time. Yeah. This one I don't recall.
No, we've got this little race car looking one too. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's no Delta Flyer.
It's no Delta Flyer, exactly. We cut inside of this shuttle, and Kes is, you know, basically pulling up a image of the Okampan homeworld.
Yeah, like
plotting a course.
It.
Yeah, yeah, mapping it out. And Paris does come in and catch her mid-mapping, and he notices it's Okampa. Yeah. Homesick.
A little suspicious.
Yeah.
Homesick. Mm-hmm. No. But she's just studying the helm configuration of the shuttle.
Yeah.
Says, maybe you could teach me how to fly, Tom.
Right.
And he says, sure, I could give you some lessons in the holodeck on an old class one shuttle.
Yeah. So, a little flirtiness happening here, though.
Well, that was back then, I think, you know.
You weren't with B'Elanna at this point, were you?
No.
I
don't know if it was flirty. It was a different Tom for sure.
Yes.
But he was also suspicious. So he was trying to be extra friendly to try to find out what is she really doing? He was, he had his radar up.
Okay.
She keeps calling him Lieutenant. He's like, yeah, Tom.
He's like, yeah, it's Tom. I'm still the observer. I'm still the,
So it was a nice scene, though.
I thought it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah. We go to the hallway now, and Tuvok's heading towards a turbolift.
Walking by the turbolift doors. They open up, and all of a sudden, Naomi Wildman's there, and Tuvok's completely confused. He has no idea what's going on. He's like, identify yourself. She's like, it's me, Tuvok. I'm Naomi Wildman. So she goes around a corner and Tuvok follows her. And I guess she goes into engineering. And
yeah, it's a nice moment when he's following her because she like disappears and he, you know, it feels very kind of suspense horror movie kind of vibe.
Yeah. And she does not go into engineering. Excuse me. She goes into cargo bay two is where she goes into, and Tuvok follows her. And this is crazy because as he goes in, this is when he sees Seven and Cody and Kurt Weatherall to the twins.
Azon and Rebby.
Yeah, they're in their Borg regeneration. They're in that regeneration mode, so they're completely still, but Tuvok doesn't understand what's going on.
He doesn't understand because at this timeline, they should not be there. So he's like, what's going on?
He's now he himself is jumping forward. So I mean, he's seeing Naomi Wildman, who at this point in time is not alive yet. She hasn't been born. She's still gestating in Samantha Wildman's belly. And then of course we don't have Seven of Nine. Seven has not joined us, and not clearly the Borg kids have not joined us. So
it's very, very confusing moment. And then he hears Lieutenant Carey.
Yeah.
And he looks over and there's Lieutenant Carey, who's in the old timeline working at a console. And he's like, are you okay, Tuvok? What's up?
Tuvok looks back at the alcoves and they're gone now. There's no alcoves.
Just a wall.
Just a wall. Very strange.
So clearly something's going on with his mind.
Something's happening.
Go to Kes's quarters.
That's right.
And she comes in and there's a table set and there's a pad with a message from Neelix.
What's on the
pad?
And what's on the pad? It's a message.
It's a message. Yes.
Hello, sweeting.
Yeah, I took the liberty of
preparing one of your favorite meals. It's under replicator program Neelix One. Call me if you'd like some company. I miss you. So it's very sweet. It's cute.
Very sweet message. But instead of being touched, she throws it away.
She tosses it.
She slides all the stuff off the table. She even throws a chair over. She walks away.
I was like, man,
don't throw. I feel like
that chair did nothing to you.
Yeah, but the chair was. She yells at the computer, turn off the music, and she throws the chair. I felt like the chair was too much. It just didn't feel motivated.
And
I don't know if it was Jennifer's performance of it was like she did this physical big move throwing a chair, but then her voice was like, computer, turn off the music. Like it didn't match. Right. Something about it.
Okay. Do you think the pushing of the other stuff was enough then?
I think that would have been enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just push the junk off. Don't knock the chair down. Right.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. A little detail, but I just didn't feel like she was there emotionally. So angry that she's just destroying the whole room. But she asked for an encrypted channel to be open. She directs a signal to the Vidians.
Yeah.
And then a Vidian.
Well, we don't know that though at this point, because all she says is direct the signal to the following coordinates.
Right?
She types in the coordinates.
Yeah.
And then that's when she says, look,
she just Vidian pops up.
Right. Well, no, she doesn't yet. Cause she's like, my name is Cass. I'm aboard this starship. Respond. Look, I know you're receiving this transmission. I also know that your attempt to capture this ship is going to fail. So if you want to harvest Voyager's crew, I suggest you answer me. And that's when he pops in. He's like, well, go ahead, explain. Because he doesn't know what's going on.
Trust
he thinks this
her.
Might be a trap. Exactly. Yeah. Like, why would this crew member want to help in the harvesting of her crewmates? I mean, why would this?
No sense.
And she's like, I'm not part of this crew. These aren't my, so clearly now.
This is the part where, she talks about, Janeway's plan is to,
that Janeway hide. Knows about your ambush.
Yeah, basically. Knows about your ambush. She's going to hide from you guys.
Yeah.
But I can send you, data on their shields, their weapons,
everything to take this ship. Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, I don't belong here. I'm not part of this crew.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to Ocampa.
Yeah.
And she says something like, they abandoned me a long time ago. This is the part where I was like, this is weird. It's like
it is weird
story.
But when she says to the Vidian, she says, I want, because when he asks her, what do you want in return for this information? And she says, safe passage for two. So she's basically saying her and her old self, is that what she's saying? That's what she's saying. Then she's going to take her and her old self together back to Ocampa. Okay.
I just found this conversation to be tiptoeing into the actor's story of I don't belong with this cast. I don't belong on the show.
Right.
I was
and
never
not the character. Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was awkward for me.
Very much so.
But Jen did a great job. We go to the Aeroponics Bay next. She opens up this secret drawer. And there's the real Kes.
Maybe this is where she strokes her face.
This is where she strokes her face. Yeah.
All right.
This was the hand. The
this
hand
is
double
the hand that
didn't match.
Belong to her. Yeah. The arm was not hers and the hand was not hers. There we go.
But she goes to send this information to the Vidians. She bypasses the security protocols with her X-Men powers.
X-Men
I
powers.
Guess.
Yeah. She goes, or we could say Jedi powers. They're kind of Jedi.
Our Jedi powers.
Well.
Yeah. Next is Janeway's quarters. Tuvok and Janeway are there.
I didn't have her quarters. I wrote down her ready room, actually. So is that wrong? Are we actually in her quarters at this point?
It wasn't her ready room desk. It was a different desk. It was like a glass desk or something. So I think it's got to be her quarters. We don't see much of it. It's a lot of close-ups in here.
Okay.
But hard to know, but I think it was her quarters.
Okay.
So Tuvok tells Janeway that he ran into a half-human, half-Katarian girl named
Naomi.
Naomi Wildman.
Right.
By the turbo lift. And, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
He also tells her about the Borg kids.
Which clearly will not make any sense with Janeway, this Janeway.
Yeah. So she's very confused. She's like, Borg? Is that Borg? On our ship, and he can't explain. He doesn't understand it himself.
She does order for the computer. Janeway says, computer, maintain a continuous proximity scan of Lieutenant Tuvok, 10 meter radius, all sensor parameters. And this is her way of sort of figuring out what's going on with these visions or these premonitions he's having. Like if she can scan him continuously, 24/7.
See if there's some energy or some alien that's near him or something.
Some clue will there will be something that will
clever
give her,
Janeway.
Yeah, she's very so clever. Smart. She's a smarty.
Don't play games with Janeway.
No, she gets tailed to the bridge by Chakotay because we're about to approach the vacuoles, and so she's like, "All right, on my way." She takes off, and we're now
on the bridge. Yeah, we have a space shot where we see the cool purple clouds that kind of look like the background you have right now.
It does, but I was thinking it kind of looks like our new t-shirt just as well. The same colors, you know what I'm saying? The purple, the blue, and there you go.
Yeah, so Voyager's programmed to, you know, fly this path through the vacuoles, and they've made the scan, so they know what to do. And Tom says this is going to take 3 hours, 12 minutes, and 11 seconds. Yeah. With 216 course changes.
That's a lot of changes.
maybe it was better to go on autopilot. Maybe it's a lot of turns for Tom to make. I would have
been a lot of work for you, my friend. I don't know if you really want to put all that work into it.
No.
Especially since you don't even have a rank. You're just the observer at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So we engage warp 8 at this point.
That's fast to go through the warp vacuoles. I mean, the subspace vacuoles. Don't you
see? I guess we're gonna warp it, then go to impulse, make a turn, then back to warp.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, it's like all fast, right. So, slow down, turn.
I see.
Take off again, slow down, turn.
Okay.
216 times. But yeah, we take off, and she leaves for sick bay, I think. And just as she's heading down to sick bay to talk to Wildman and the doctor about this this neurogenic, you know, gas or compound or whatever that's gonna help them with the Vidians, Tuvok has another hallucination right here.
Yeah.
He says he's reading a ship heading on a collision course with us.
Yeah.
And Tom looks back. He's like, what are you talking about?
What?
I'm not reading any ship.
Like, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
He says,
I need to be relieved of duty.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling well.
Right.
And Chakotay's like, of course.
Yeah. Off of Chakotay's concerned look. Of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We go to sick bay. Doctor and Wildman are working on this this compound, this pathogen. Janeway comes in, and it sounds like they're on track. Like, this is going to work out. So Wildman goes to the other room to finish her work. And Janeway sort of walks over, looks through the glass, and she's like, Doctor. Basically, she says, is Wildman pregnant? Do you know if she's pregnant?
Yeah.
And they have
argument. I cannot disclose this. Yeah.
Yeah. They have this argument about whose authority supersedes. Well, I'm the doctor. So medical authority. Well, I'm the captain. So I supersede.
Yeah.
It's a funny little banter there. He does finally say, okay, yes, she's pregnant. And she's going to have a Katarian, half human offspring.
Female.
A female.
Mm.
How did you know?
And Janeway doesn't even answer that. She turns and just walks
out.
So this is kind of like when we're kind of treating the doctor not so nice, I think, you know, like we're not as open armed to him at this point. So,
and he's got a line at the end when she walks out, he goes, and they say, I'm rude.
And they say, I'm rude.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm rude.
Mm-hmm. I wondered if Bob ad-libbed, because he used to always ad-lib these like buttons at the end of scenes and they keep them in there. I wonder if that was
I don't think he did on this one. That's going to be my guess. But yeah, he could have. It's possible. He tried to ad lib, but I do feel like even his ad libs got shot down as well. So
you had to have
approval. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Corridor.
We go out to the hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tuvok's having these hallucinations or premonitions, and it's just sounds. It's just hearing.
All
the
he
sounds.
Does is yeah. He's basically hearing the dialogue from when
the future,
when Kes sort of rams the ship and comes aboard. So we're hearing, you know, let me come on board. We hear her ship is accelerating. It's on a collision course. We hear everybody from the bridge from that scene. We hear Tuvok.
And he can't find
Kim.
Anybody. He's running from hall to hall.
No.
He goes into engineering.
Yeah.
And it's great camera work in here. I love the energy of the kind of handheld 360 rushes in. B'Elanna says, you know, are you okay? He sees Kes at the warp core at this point. He sees the lightning bolt, the X-Men lightning that she shoots through.
He even hears Ayala's voice in this too. Like, stop what you are. That's all these voices from
future, the scenes we've seen.
Yeah, scenes we've already seen are now coming through.
And when the lightning bolt goes through B'Elanna, it must have been a double, I think. But
you think
the hands, the hands shot up in the air. If it wasn't a double, then it was Roxanne doing, because of her dance training, she might have had this like nice dance move where the arms go up and she fell, you know, down below
the
frame.
She falls so gracefully with her dance.
It was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous fall.
Dramatic, elegant lightning bolt reaction.
But Tuvok is now close to the warp core, which is also where the tachyon particles are. So this is when
he starts, like, gets a headache.
He's got this crazy migraine and he starts staggering
around.
It's like a seizure
or something. Yeah. He falls down and starts having a seizure.
Yeah, he collapses and Torres is quick to call sick bay, medical emergency. And now we jump over to sick bay and the doctor is basically treating Tuvok, who's still in his seizure. He's going through these crazy moves. And the doctor asks for a cortical stimulator from Kes, his assistant. And he says, we'll start at 20 millijoules. But of course, Kes does.
You see her turn it all the way up.
Oh, she cranks it up. Yeah. So I'm going to guess it's probably at now 100 millijoules is what it's at or more.
Yeah.
And of course, and it does its job.
It hits the energy thing and Tuvok goes, I thought Tuvok was dead. I thought she killed Tuvok.
Yeah. Well, the doctor runs over and he says, he's gone into synaptic shock. I just don't understand it. And he's still convulsing at this point, even more so than he did before.
Yeah.
And you thought Tuvok died at that point.
I thought this has to kill him, whatever she did.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
He's a strong Vulcan. We cut to space. We see Voyager flying through the vacuoles on autopilot, not piloted by Tom, because he's
making course
not
correction
as good
number 133.
Neural
not, no,
gel
not that
pads.
He's not as good. It's just it's a little too much to make 217 course.
It's a lot of flying. Okay.
It's a lot. Yeah,
we see it flying through the vacuoles. We go to sick bay. Janeway wants to talk to Tuvok.
Yeah, Doc doesn't think that's a good idea. No, let's keep him sedated right now. And so now Janeway's doing her best Sherlock Holmes. She's like, okay, so when did this start? And the doctor says,
this afternoon.
Yeah. No, no, I need exact time. Yeah, she wants exactly when it started. So
and Kes is sort of listening from through the glass.
Yeah, she's right there. She can hear. Yep.
Yeah.
1422 hours.
So she goes to the computer. She examines where Tuvok was at 1422 hours.
Yeah. Because remember that those scans were going on, that she ordered those continuous scans. So now she's accessing that file, which has those scans, and she wants to know what happened exactly at 1422. And that's where she sees it. Tachyons. Dadgum tachyons.
Tachyon particles. She says that means there was some kind of temporal distortion. There was some kind of
time travel situation
happening.
Yeah.
And then Janeway does ask Kes.
She walks back into that area where Kes is. Yeah.
And she says, Kes, you know, you've got telepathic abilities. Have you had experienced anything unusual, any premonitions? And Kes is like, no.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Janeway doesn't know at this point, right? I mean, she's clueless at this point.
Janeway was going to show her hand and like reveal everything.
Yeah,
but
she did not. No. Kes makes some type of excuse saying that the sick bay
is low on
some neural stabilizers.
Yeah, neural stabilizers. Yeah. And then the doctor says, hurry back.
Hurry back. Yeah, with his little Bob voice there. Hurry back.
Very funny. Okay, so next we go to, I think, Aeroponics Bay, and Kes is talking to the Vidian.
Yeah.
And he wants to know, where's this data that you got?
Yeah, he's really pushy. He wants that. He wants that info now.
He doesn't trust her. And he's like, give us that info. And she pushes back hard. She's like, you'll get it when you arrive.
Yeah.
When you arrive at the location. So they argue a little bit here.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason is she's protecting herself. She knows that if she does this now, Janeway's already suspicious as it is. And she's going to find out. So. Kes is she puts up that hard line, like, you're not going to get this info until you arrive. That's it.
We go to the bridge next.
Yeah.
And we see over Harry's shoulder.
Yes.
Pushing some buttons. Chakotay's there. Janeway arrives in the background.
Mm.
I don't know if this bumped for you, but like the angle that you're standing at your station to push the buttons and give them the shot, it seemed weird to me.
Oh yeah. That happened more than once where they would position me
a certain way. Like
they would
sideways
turn me
to the console.
And I would look at them and I would think, well, this doesn't really this is never how stand I'm standing. Yeah. I never stand like this. So yeah. So you caught that. So that's a good catch.
Very good catch. It was like you were turned sideways to the console pushing buttons. Yes. And then Janeway arrives. She says, scan for tachyon particles deck by deck. Mm-hmm. And she's very concerned about, you know, these tachyon particles. They might be other places. And while they're talking about this, suddenly
we get a hit. A ship shake at this point. Yeah.
Vidians are attacking us. Yeah. She calls for battle stations. At the end of the scene, she sits down. Chakotay's at his chair. There's a big hit, and there's a two-shot of them both sitting in their chairs.
Yeah.
I have never seen such a perfect in unison front back.
Oh, nice.
The quick front back of between the those hit, two. Big yeah. hit. It was amazing. I'm going to give that a 10 out of 10 for the big hit. Chakotay and Janeway's quick front back.
That's actually a JC moment, if you think about it.
It was.
Okay, because really, when you are so meant for another person, you're in sync. Your physicality is doing the same thing. So this is a JC moment, a hidden JC moment.
Beautiful. It was beautiful, the big hit at the end of that scene.
But the issue here is, no matter what we try to do, we try to change frequencies for our shields, the Vidians know. It's like they're a step ahead for some reason.
Yeah, they've taken other navigation, Tom says. They're matching our frequencies.
They're cutting through the hull, and Janeway's like, okay, it's time. It's time to release the pathogen or the neural agent to sort of disable those guys. We jump to sick bay, and the doctor is answering the captain saying, okay, yes, 50 milliliters should suffice. But unfortunately, environmental controls are not responding. And what? We jump back to the bridge. Yeah. And Janeway's like, what is going on? Harry, let me know. Harry's like, we've been locked out of that system. So I was like, what do you mean locked out? And Kim's like, the command relays that have been fused. And that's when Janeway starts putting things together. She's like, okay, wait a minute. They know where to find us. They know our shield frequencies. They know which parts of our ship to target. They know everything. And Kim quickly makes an announcement. We're being boarded. So now Vidians are on the ship. And Chakotay reads an EM fluctuation. And he says, wait a minute. This could be a transmission. Janeway says, location? Chakotay. Aeroponics Bay. Mm-hmm. Who's down there picking up two bio readings? This is strange. They're both Kess. Must be a malfunction. That's what they think. Mm-hmm. But Janeway now knows what's going
She's
on.
Like, She's we've like, we've got more than one battle on our hands.
She's like, security to the Aeroponics Bay. Shut down control functions to that section. I'm going down there. Something tells me, we've got more than one battle on our hands. But good thing she stopped all the commands from being accessed and control cannot be accessed from Aeroponics Bay. Mm-hmm. And we do see a shot of Kess trying to deal with that, but the transmission is stopped clearly. And so she opens up that drawer where her young self is.
Opens up the secret drawer, gets her double. She tries to initiate a site-to-site transport, but the computer says no.
Nope. Those functions aren't working.
Disabled.
Harry's locked you out. Yeah.
She hyposprays her young Kess.
To wake her up a little bit, kind of?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Wake her up just so that she can...
And tell her.
Basically,
we're going home.
Yeah, she says we're going home. Yeah. But also she wakes her up so that when they're shooting the scene, the upcoming scene... And Kess or Jennifer Lean has a photo double who's hiding her head the whole scene, hiding her face with her head dropped down, that double can sort of help hold her up. So Kess doesn't have to hold her in her arms. That's why she wakes her up a little bit, I think. But we go to the hallway right here. We see a quick phaser fight with the Vidians.
Yeah.
And I love the Vidians' double blue phasers.
Those are cool. The color of their weapons are really cool. We do have a cut with the bridge, and we do notice that we do have weapons back online. And so Chakotay and Kim are working on getting these Vidian hooks off of us. Yeah, that have basically... Grappling hooks are on Voyager. As we speak, Chakotay's talking about reversing hull polarity, and possibly that'll shake them back. And now we're back in aeroponics, and Janeway shows up.
And Kess is carrying the Kess double is sort of hobbling with her with her head, her face hidden.
Yeah.
The double's head down is hiding the face. And Janeway confronts her and says, one of you doesn't belong here. And I'm guessing it's you. Mm-hmm. So Janeway's put this together. You're from the future. And Kess says, I'm changing the future. So And Janeway says, why are you helping the Vidians?
Why are you doing any of this?
Why are you doing this? Yeah. And Cass kind of spills her plan a little bit. She's like, I'm from the future and I'm hoping to change the future. Then she uses these X-Men powers to throw Janeway out of the way.
Janeway gets knocked back quite a few times by the X-Men power.
Slam into the wall. Yeah, this is an X-Men
She should have been knocked out cold, really. Oh, like, it's like, why is she still, she's still conscious after being knocked back?
Because she went flying up against the bulkhead.
Yeah, she'd be
crashes to the floor.
She would be knocked out with some, with broken ribs and everything. But no, but Janeway's a superhuman herself, clearly. Yeah. So she's
Janeway's struggling up. Cass goes, tries to go out in the hall, but the firefight's happening out there. She can't go that way.
I think it's interesting because when Janeway says, why are you doing this? Cass says, I won't let you hurt her again, meaning her past self, basically.
Yeah.
And Janeway's like, I haven't done anything to harm her. Well, you took her from her home. She's a prisoner on this ship. And Janeway's like, what? No, there's nobody that's a prisoner here. And Cass is completely, clearly, there's some confusion going on in her brain. She doesn't understand what's going on, who's her friend, who's not, who's her enemy. And she has created her own narrative of what happened to her as a younger self. And it's clearly wrong. We jump back to the bridge. There's more stuff going on with Kim and Chakotay. Kim says hull polarity is loosened, their hull, but not by much. Chakotay's like, well, that's a start. Reroute the deflector, have it discharge anti-graviton pulses along the hull. And just sort of
trying to break these grappling hooks.
Shake free of these guys.
Get the grappling hooks off.
Jumping back to aeroponics again.
And Janeway and Cass are still arguing and talking, and Janeway's flying all over the aeroponics bay.
Yeah.
getting X-Men'd all over the place. But Cass says, you know, in 3 years, I'm going to leave Voyager because you told me to develop my mind. You told me develop my abilities. And she says, I wasn't ready.
She wasn't ready. She couldn't control it.
Yeah. I couldn't control it. It scared me. I felt like I had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And that's when she thought about returning to Ocampa, but she said people would be frightened of her abilities now because she's been out in the, you know, the Delta Quadrant and changed so much that they wouldn't accept her.
Right.
She says, but they will accept the younger Kess, the one who wasn't changed so much.
So that's her goal, to take her, the younger Kess, back.
Mm-hmm. Janeway says, if that's your goal, you don't have to destroy the ship. We can help you do that.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough for Kess because she's got so much bitterness. She uses her X-Men powers, knocks her down again.
Knocks him back.
Mm-hmm. Looks like Janeway's got to be knocked out
at
the end of this scene. We go to space. We see the hooks break.
Yeah.
So breaking finally free. This is working. Mm-hmm. We go to the bridge. Harry says, we are breaking free. Mm-hmm. Tom says, they're trying to use a tractor beam on us now.
Yeah.
Chakotay says, reverse thrusters, full power.
Yeah.
And he's really wound up here. I love this exchange.
You know what's weird? Like, it's like in the, I'm looking at the script now and it says Paris says that could tear the hull apart. But I could have sworn that that's what Harry said.
I thought so too.
Yeah. So Harry, this is like a, I thought Harry that, but that could tear the hull apart. Yeah. And then Chakotay goes, then tear it apart. So
maybe it was really originally weird. Tom's line and they switched it to Harry because that would happen sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we do see
Chakotay says reverse thrusters full power. Harry says that could break the hull apart.
Yeah.
And Chakotay says break it apart, tear it apart.
Like, yeah, he doesn't care. And we see that shot though. That's a cool shot where it does rip off, and you see plating and everything just come with it and everything.
Very
so
cool.
Yeah.
And Chakotay is in full boss mode here. I'm just gonna say he's like.
Photon torpedoes, full spread, ready, fire. And so we do shoot.
We see it
and connect with the
direct hit on the Vidian ship. We go back to aeroponics. There's more of this kind of arguing with Janeway and Cass.
Yeah.
Janeway does say, Cass, I've set my phaser to kill.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Yeah. Cause she's already shot. She's already stunned her and that didn't stop her.
Didn't so stop her. So she's like, got to go to kill.
But Cass doesn't care. She steps forward and Janeway takes her out. And so this is the death of Cass scene. And Janeway does have a reaction to that. She is She is emotionally impacted by this, and she doesn't want to kill Kes, but she
but she does. She morphs back into the old version after she dies.
After she dies, mm-hmm.
Janeway calls the bridge. The Vidians are retreating, and I love that last shot. You're right. Janeway was very affected, and it's a high shot.
Yeah,
with two Kesses, young Kes and old Kes, lying on the ground.
Yeah,
and Janeway looking at them both. It's a very sweet moment, sad moment. We go to engineering, I think. Tuvok's at the warp core here.
Yeah.
And he's trying to
he's talking to Janeway what his visions, what he saw.
His vision of the future. And he says, Kes is gonna do this again. Right. Like, even though you killed the one that traveled back.
It'll happen again.
Mm-hmm. So we go to sick bay, and young innocent Kes is there. She does remember a little of this, of seeing herself. Mm-hmm. And the doctor says, what, of yourself? You saw yourself? And Janeway says, computer, deactivate EMH. So funny.
Why didn't we do that more often in the early seasons? Funny. We should have been deactivating him left and right.
I can't deal with him right now. It was very funny. And then Janeway says, this is confidential. Just the three of us are going to know what happened.
That's right.
And we're going to plan. We're going to make a plan for how to prevent it from happening again.
Mm-hmm. Then the next shot is we're back in Janeway's ready room, and it's same a redo.
From
it's
the
redo of the very beginning all over again, and the whole happy birthday thing. So.
But this is where John Bruno shot on the other side.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was interesting because it was the same scene, but I noticed, wait a minute, we're on the other side of the line. So it's not the same footage.
Okay.
It's different footage.
When you mentioned this before, I was mistaken. I thought you said that he shot on the other side of the line in that opening scene. No, you're saying this is when he jumps the line, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
This is where he jumps to the other side for the whole scene. Yeah. It's the Tuvok birthday scene.
Yeah.
Very clever, John Bruno. We go to the bridge. There's a distress call again. It's Okompan. Mm-hmm. But this time, Tuvok and Janeway look at each other.
Yeah. And she says, I'd almost forgotten.
Red alert. And then she says, evacuate deck 11. So she knows the first moves are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you cut to engineering. They're evacuating. Balam's like, everybody out of here. They're evacuating. The engineering and the warp core.
And now we know engineering's on deck 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And we go back to the bridge. There's old Kes again asking to come on, setting a collision course.
Uh-huh.
And Janeway says, Tuvok? And they look between them. It's great.
Yeah.
Kes does beam over again. We have the hallway shot of the exploding wall, slow motion.
We also have a confused Chakotay on the bridge. How did you know?
Yes, we do.
He didn't. You would think that she would let him in on this too, right? But I guess she didn't need to.
Janeway says, shut down the warp core.
Yeah.
And then she leaves. Tuvok follows her. We go to engineering.
Which is emptier at this point.
Which is totally empty. Mm-hmm. Kes comes in. She looks around. That's weird.
Yeah.
And then suddenly young Kes appears before she can get old Kes gets to the warp core.
Yeah. Young I think Kes, we hear her speaking first, right?
We hear her.
Yeah. We hear, remember me, the innocent child you're here to save? You blame Captain J. So this whole speech comes out, and it's hollow Kes, essentially.
It's a hologram version of Kes that she recorded.
Yes, a message for older Kes.
And she tells older Kes, she says, don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't do what you're planning to do, that nobody forced you to do anything, that you're the one that made the decision to leave Okompa. You're the one that made the decision to leave Voyager.
Yeah.
And don't take revenge on this ship. You can find another way home. With the captain will help you.
Yeah.
Remember
who you were. Try to remember who you
used to be. Remember me.
And that's when the Fritz happens of the
volume. That's when we realize it's a hologram.
The hologram.
We weren't really clear.
Wait a minute. Maybe this is actual younger Kes that has somehow time jumped herself. But no.
Yeah.
When she does Fritz out, we realize it's a hologram. And that's when Janeway and Tuvok enter.
Yep.
And Janeway's again repeating the same message. Don't you remember? You made that holo recording because you didn't want this to happen again.
Yeah.
3 years ago, you travel back in time. So she gives her the 411, the whole information of what's going on. And slowly but surely, there is some recognition in Kes's face. She's getting it. She's like, wait a minute. Oh my goodness. You know, she's realizing what's happening.
And Janeway says, stay here with us.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
She says, you told me you had nowhere to go, but that's not true. You do. Stay here.
Yeah.
And Kes says, no, I can't stay here. I don't belong here anymore. I need to be with my own people. Mm-hmm. And then she does finally kind of have a smile.
Yeah. She says, I remember.
I remember.
She's like, what? Jane was like, what do you remember? And Kes says, well, the Hollow recording. I remember making it. You asked me to help you, to help myself. You wanted me to remember who I was. These years were so filled with confusion and anger. I buried the memory, almost forgotten. And then Janeway says, well, does it really matter? Which Kes goes home. And at that point, I think Kes really realizes that she's not in her right mind and really that she
really does remember the young Kes, the one that was really on our show, not the one for this episode, the evil Kes that they came up with.
Yes.
We go to the transporter room next. The captain and Neelix are there and Tuvok's there.
Here's my question to you. Where is she transporting to?
I guess a shuttle or a ship. Oh, that's a great question.
Isn't her ship on our ship? Don't we have her ship? Like, I thought we already tractor beamed her shuttle onto our ship. So it's so strange to me that she's transporting somewhere. It's like, why aren't we just walking her to her shuttle or to a shuttle, right? It's just a little weird. I didn't understand.
Yeah, that is weird. I did. Yeah. Part of me was just like, oh, they're transporting her to Ocampo, but they can't do that.
you can't go that far. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sweet goodbye with Neelix.
But confusing is what it is. Yeah. It's a nice line from Brian Fuller at the end. Tuvok says, what should we tell the others? Janeway says, a friend got lost. We helped her find her way. So that ends the scene. That's the button statement, the button dialogue.
Very sweet. Very sweet. I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
I have to say, even though I'm surprised, it was really well directed. I think, you know, even though the premise to me, I struggle with the premise, I thought it was very well done.
All right.
I think it was really well done.
What about lesson? What did you get out of this episode?
For me, the lesson is don't forget who you are inside. Mm-hmm. That anger and confusion will try to make you forget. Resentment will try to make you forget who you truly are. But it's like all of us have this pure, innocent, you know, inner child in us, this innocent soul that we all have, no matter what, you know. We may grow up under hard conditions, learn, you know, to be angry and resentful at life. But if we can stay in touch with that pure inner child that all of us have, we will be much happier, and the world would be better if we all remembered that.
I agree.
That's the lesson for me.
I agree. And that's pretty much what I also got out of this, because I do feel, you know, as kids, we're full of fun. We're full of joy and we don't have preconceived, you know, notions, or we don't judge people as kids. You know, we don't have any of that stuff going on. And then as we grow into adulthood, we start developing or putting up these walls. Yeah. these walls become higher and higher and more impenetrable. And let's face it, I mean, you just see someone going from youth to adulthood, and from adulthood to middle age, from middle age to old age. And the further away from youth that you go, the walls are bigger. The overall just
the baggage demeanor,
the baggage is heavier. Yeah. And it's just to the point where you just see that crabby old person, that crotchety, cranky old person.
Yeah.
And that's because they have forgotten who they were. They've forgotten to take that time to reset yourself, you know? And that's what it is. Just to take those memories of like how you were before, when you were young, innocent, and truthful to who you were. And then if you can reset that every year, that'd be a good thing to do as an adult. Reset. Yeah.
What's your rating on this one?
I'm going to give a 7.7 is what.
Oh, wow.
I'll give interesting. 7.7. Yeah.
I really liked this episode a lot.
Yeah.
But there's, like I said, fundamental, like the premise to me is problematic for the character. Mm-hmm. And there were some moments that, you know, even though I thought it was well done by all the actors, I just didn't quite buy, like knocking over the chair and stuff. It just isn't who Kes is. It just, right. I don't know.
But you still like the episode. I so liked what it. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a 7.4.
Okay, a little lower. Yeah.
7.4.
I'm going to guess that the admirals and captains are going to give this a 7.1 average.
Well, I will tell you, the admiral and captain's rating, the average rating for Fury. That's a drum roll.
I know.
The average rating is 4.8.
Ooh. Wow.
You and I like this more than they did. That's average.
Really? But
some
see,
people,
I got to
say, people really didn't like it.
Right. But then that just touches upon how we felt about this sort of, you know, maligning of her character and really kind of leaving a sour taste in
reaction.
Your mouth. That's probably the reaction to that right off the bat. Yeah,
I do. I think
like, how
so.
Dare you ruin our image of our beloved Cassie by making her this evil person? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
4.8. That's very low. My goodness.
Yeah.
That means some people gave this even lower than that, right? So someone might have given a 1 to this episode.
Yeah.
So,
or a 0.
Yeah. So this is actually the lowest ranked episode from the Admirals and Captains to date.
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't dislike it as much as they did.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Well, that was really fun. It was, not what I expected.
No, it wasn't. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of the episode Fury. Join Robbie and I next week when we tackle the episode Lifeline. Lifeline.
Lifeline.
Yes.
Okay.
And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.